Yeah. Oh, here.
Hi, Sonia. Everybody ready? Set. Good evening. It is now 5:59. And this is the board workshop agenda review of the Board of Trustees of the Kaniapeo Independent School District. It's January 11th, 2017. Happy New Year, everybody. Yeah.
New Year.
Big year. And Sonia, would you be kind enough to call roll, please?
Yes, ma'am. Ms. Burgum.
Present.
Ms. Fritzy.
Here.
Mrs. Quintana.
Here.
Mr. Rodriguez.
Present.
Mrs. Searles.
Here.
Mrs. Trout.
Present.
And Mrs. Iglesias.
Here.
So with the board's permission, I would like to move agenda item A6 forward. Is everyone okay with that?
Yes.
Yes.
Okay. Sonia?
Yes, ma'am. Agenda 2, board agenda review, discuss agenda items as listed, recommend motions with administration, and receive responses to questions and or requests for additional information to the superintendent in preparation for deliberation, action, and possible consent on said items at the January 24, 2017 regular board meeting of trustees. Item 6, discussion and recommendation regarding a resolution for the El Paso Law School. Dr. Reynolds.
Do I come to this chair to speak?
Yes, sir.
Yes, sir.
Madam Chair, this was presented to me by here in the region, the lack of professional schools, if you will. We're very fortunate to have a medical school. Coming down the pike is also a dental school that they're talking about, and now having a law school. And again, any opportunity to provide education, higher education for our future. But not that I like attorneys, but no, I love attorneys. I have six in my family, so I love y'all. But I give you the opportunity.
Dr. Galaviz, first of all, before I introduce myself, on behalf of all of the attorneys and the judges that are working and all the citizens who are working on the law school initiative, I want to express our appreciation for you and your quick response to having it put on the agenda. We appreciate that very much. Trustees, my name is Robert Grijalva, and I'm a volunteer in the El Paso Law School Initiative. It's a consortium of judges, attorneys, a lot of people in the legal field who are interested in passing legislation that will put a law school in El Paso, Texas. And there's many good reasons why El Paso should have a law school. One of them is that we are the largest city in Texas without a law school. Now, if you take a look at the number of attorneys per population, El Paso has one attorney for every 656 persons of the population. And that is very minimal. You go to Austin, that's one in 170. You go to Houston, that's one in 236. You go to San Antonio, it's one in 353. You go to Lubbock, it's one in 387. And what is in common on all of those other regions is they all have law schools. So they have a population of students that go to the law school in their community and they stay there. Students here, good students like in Kaniapeo, who will soon have the opportunity to enrich their lives by being attorneys, will have the opportunity to stay in El Paso and get their law degree and serve the communities of Las Cruces, Santa Teresa, Sunland Park, El Paso, Clint, San Elizario now, as attorneys. And it's very important that we succeed in it. And what we're asking is for you to have a vote of support for that law school. One of the things that a community shows a skilled legal community is the number of attorneys who are recognized by the American Bar or the Texas Bar Association as to being certified. That's the, that they have more expertise. And having a law school in El Paso will change the following numbers for sure. The number of certified attorneys in health law that we have in El Paso is zero. The number of immigration lawyers who are certified is two. The number of attorneys who are certified in workers' compensation is zero. The number of attorneys who are certified in construction issues is zero. The number of criminal appellate law attorneys who are certified is one. The number of attorneys who are certified in juvenile law is two. So we have attorneys, but they're not at the expertise level that the other communities do take advantage of, take have a benefit from. This is not the first time that El Paso has asked for a law school. There's been previous requests or inquiries with the Texas Bar Association, and they've been denied. The reasoning by the state bar that they denied the law school here in El Paso is because there are plenty of other attorneys in other cities in Texas who can come to El Paso and do the attorney work and then take their money home to their communities. They're in essence saying it's legal to come to El Paso and rob from us for things that we should be able to take care of ourselves. I have a personal experience with the shortage of attorneys in El Paso. I worked for 18 months in a Justice of the Peace Court, and we worked in a court that does over $1 million every year annually in fines. So that creates a big docket, very big docket. And whenever there's a court for attorneys to show up, inevitably there's going to be many of the defendants who are not able to have their day in court as they were promised, because the attorney reschedules that particular case to take on a bigger case downtown. It's all about the money. And if we have more attorneys in El Paso, we can have better justice for all of the traffic offenders, as opposed to them being chosen between a major case and their piddly little case. One other thing, just as a anecdotal item, I worked in the House of Representatives as the Chief of Staff for 12 years. I worked five sessions, which one is going on right now, just started yesterday. I worked five sessions in Austin, and I met a lot of people from El Paso who were attorneys in Lubbock, in Austin, rather. They went to the UT at Austin. They stayed there. I've met a lot of people who went to school in Austin and they stayed there. And we're trying to get more professionals to stay in El Paso with this effort. And I would like to ask that you do approve the resolution. If y'all have any questions, well, let me just make one point, one last point. If it drew a line from Corpus Christi straight to the east, the western tip of the panhandle, all of the law schools would be east of that. There's not a law school that's west of that particular line. They're all over there, and several of the cities have more than one. Dallas has three. Dallas-Fort Worth has three. Houston has three. San Antonio and Austin have one, and Lubbock has one. And we're fortunate to know that the Texas Tech University, not only being a sponsor or a overseeing university for the law, for the medical school, they have shown enthusiasm to come in and be the overseeing university for the law school.
With that, I move to approve the resolution to establish the Albert Armendariz School of Law in El Paso, Texas, as presented before.
I'll second.
Thank you.
It's recommendation.
Oh, I'm so sorry. You've got me hook, line, and sinker. I'm on. Well, go to the full board then. Sorry, I was ready to go for you.
I just wanted to comment.
Sure.
I know it's a lot of legwork that y'all have been putting together and going throughout the community to make sure that we get the support, and I think it's a great idea, and so I just want to commend you all on your health work.
Well, thank you. This gentleman here, let me introduce him. It's Juan C. Acereto. He's from the Consul de Promoción Comercial in the Consulado General de Mexico. That consul has individual, his supervisor or the consulate there is also one of the members of the initiative to get the law school, because I mentioned communities in Texas that would benefit, but we can also benefit quite as tremendously because there's a lack of international attorneys that can help with international problems. And I think he'd like to just say a quick
just
comment.
With my respect to his board, and we'd like to say that it's very important for us in the immigration issues to have more lawyers that knows these kind of situations. Plus, if you see the demographics and the way that we are exporting and importing from Mexico and this trade that is $90 billion every year, is very important for to have some lawyers to understand how to manage this trade that is we're gonna have a little problems in the future because the situation as you know and we see that. The NAFTA with this all this trade with this situation is going to be worse, but we must defend the imports and exports and the future of this region through law, and that's why we support this initiative. And sorry for my English, but I've been here for almost 3 months in El Paso, and I've taken care of the commercials and economics issues. And I'm very proud to be in front of you to ask him for this support for this initiative.
Thank you, sir.
I do have a question in regards to, you're saying Texas Tech is spearheading, you're going to oversee it, or is that just...
Well, there's been comments made that we went to the University of Texas at El Paso to be under the university. Dr. Natalicio didn't show interest because she's more focused on a research university, research basis. And there was conversations with former board members who were involved with the Texas Tech Medical School that our judges talked to, and they've steered Texas Tech toward a positive direction as far as being because you just can't have a freestanding law school. You have to be affiliated to be accepted by an accredited university. And Texas Tech, I'm not saying it's a sure thing, but the indications that we've had in the first few meetings is that they are very, very much leaning toward making themselves readily available for that purpose.
That's all right, Madam Chair.
Okay, go to the full board. We're already ready to do it for you, gentlemen, but
thank you.
We will meet again on the 24th, and it will be for a vote.
Well, I thought this was your regular meeting.
No,
regular
this is that.
It will go to the consent agenda on the regular board meeting.
Okay. I'll be looking for it, and I won't come over here and put you guys to sleep again. By the way, happy birthday.
It's Miss Stephanie's birthday.
My
25?
Yes. 26.
Do you want to help us sing happy birthday to her right now?
Well, if I do that, you guys are going to want to get out of here.
Come on.
Back to you guys.
Yeah. Let's do it.
To turn it off.
Ready.
But
happy birthday to you. Happy birthday to you. Happy birthday, dear Stephanie. Happy birthday to you.
Calabese, trustees, thank you very, very much for your time.
Thank you, sir.
Appreciate it. And, I'm very impressed with the growth of Canadio. I know that it was just a cat, but as I mentioned to Armando, 15 years ago, you wouldn't have the senior class that you have right now. And I believe that some of the first students that are going to attend the law school here in El Paso are going to come from the Congress of your district.
Absolutely.
Thank you. I'm going to just leave you with the magazine, the newest magazine of the consulate that show all the work that we've been doing.
Thank you, sir.
Okay.
Thank you very much.
Okay.
Yes, sir.
Back to the regular agenda, please, Sonia. Next item.
Thank you so much.
Thank you, sir.
Thank you, sirs. Happy New Year, and thank you for coming
this
evening.
Happy New Year to you, too. Good job.
Thank you for your time.
Oh, this is not yours.
Item A, board business. Number one, discussion and recommendation regarding the fiscal year 2015-2016 Board of Trustees budget.
Ms. Frenzy, this is your item.
Yes, I had asked for this item to be put on today's agenda. And just to remind the board that we need to have transparency to our community and all of our transactions that take place, whether it's travel, food, and any kind of other expenses that are acquired by the board. I was really happy by the way it was laid out for us individually as far as expenses. I know we're going to acquire some more as the board travels in the next few months. I believe I did have a couple questions on the top where the live stream, which is what we're paying for, the $2,300 that covers for a 12-month. So we won't have to pay that again until July, right, Dr. Garvey? So we won't acquire any more expenses for the live stream other than that?
Yes, ma'am.
Other than the
I believe there's going to be storage also.
Storage?
Mm-hmm. You're not just going to get rid of it after every meeting.
In perpetuity.
Go ahead, Tony.
Good evening. On the storage part, there's no storage local here in Canadillo. Everything's stored up in the cloud.
And that comes with the fee, right?
It comes with the fee.
Okay.
Yeah.
Is this the only, Madam Chair, if I might, or Ms.
Go ahead, Mr.
Rodriguez. In regards to, is this the optimal live streaming that we have in regards to the other ones? I know other school districts have where you could section it off per agenda item and stuff like that. Did we look at that?
Yeah, I think we called the company that provides the service for El Paso.
This topic is about the board budget, not about live streaming.
Well, the board budget includes live streaming.
Well, it doesn't deal with the details of...
Can they write all this?
So we'll talk about live streaming and the board packet filter.
That's actually part of the budget, and we could ask that question.
I just wanted to make
that the other one was $25,000.
Come about the live stream.
Yeah, the one that the city uses and El Paso agency uses, it was about $25,000.
And that it's important for us to continue live stream because we need to be transparent to our community.
Okay. I have some other questions. I have here, I'm showing that the mobile broadband for the superintendent and the board of trustees.
Is it a Surface? I think it's a Surface.
I don't know, but it says the president, and that's, I can tell you, Everybody in this room knows that's not me who's got mobile broadband.
But this was, oh yeah, that's true.
Yeah. So this is back into past.
And then the other question that I had was in regards to when you see some of the food vendors that we've had, it's like 3 or 4 different purchases. Why is that? If it's the same date.
Can you
repeat that? I can
explain
that.
There's several. Page 6 would be one.
Oh, 6. Thank you.
Page 10. Why is it separate bills? You have surcharge in the box.
I can answer that, Dr.
Knight, if you'd
like.
Yeah, go ahead.
It's just in order to do, sometimes when you do the POs, you can do a very general amount and a guesstimate, but the bidder that we get at doing the POs for the sake of transparency, for us to very easily reconcile our budget against what we're spending, that's why you see that line item break up, and that actually will match the receipt. So it's just a better way, although it's a little bit more time consuming on our end, but for reconciliation, it's a great help.
So it's just to get the order going.
Exactly.
So it's like a separate purchase order that goes with each?
It's one purchase order. Oh, for example, one purchase order, 1, 2, 3, 4, and then it gives a very detailed breakdown.
Okay.
And then the other question I had in regards to election cost, that's the total final amount, right? So we had a savings of $14,000.
Okay.
So left in the board's budget. That will be on page 8. 6439, election costs.
Oh, election costs. I saw that.
No, actually, you have a zero balance.
Correct.
Available balance.
We budgeted $35,000.
Yes, sir.
And what was the cost?
There are two expenditures.
$19,000
and $1,680.
Yeah.
And then there's an open PO that's pending.
Correct.
For the balance.
So are we sure it's $35,000, or because that was our budget, what was the actual cost for that?
Well, when you add, if you go across, the $35,000 minus the expenditures minus the PO will leave you a zero balance.
Why is that? I mean, do we actually know? Like, in other words, do we tell the elections department we had $35,000 to spend and they charged us $35,000? Or?
I'm sorry. So the $35,000 we went ahead and guesstimated, but we're really close from 2 years ago. And they asked you for 75% of the amount up front, but they're not able to ever give us the final cost until they get all their cost. They give us an estimate. Once they hold the election, then they do that final reconciliation and they're going to charge us. But the $14,000 is encumbered because it could very well be $13,999. It could be $13,005, but we need to encumber that money so that there's not any transfer of funds. If we transfer out, we won't be able to pay that second part. So we'll get pretty close to that $14,000.
That's all the questions
are encumbered. It's encumbered.
So
yes.
I have only one question, really. I want to note this to be noted, please, Sonia. This isn't the 2015-2016 budget that anybody's talking about, looking at, or anything else. So look at our agenda item and see how it says 2015-16. I believe that what we're talking about is the 2016-2017. So for the regular agenda, can we get that corrected, please?
Yes, ma'am.
Unless, Ms. Fritzy, did you want 15-16? Is that what you're talking about, or you want the...
No, it would be...
This one.
This year.
16-17. Yes. Okay.
Yes, and we'll note it for the record and still be able to have a recommendation from the board.
Sure.
But there's no recommendation for anything, so I think. Is this an information item, or is
this... This item is just for transparency for the community, so that they know how much we're spending on everything, even if it pertains to... Mostly if it pertains to us. And then I also had a question what general supplies is of 2,500. What is that used for?
Because I need a pen.
Is that really for our regular, what is that used for? Yeah.
I'm using pencils.
Ms. Grace, what page are you on?
Five.
Five. I'm sorry, on my digital version, I don't see the page numbers.
So on 6399, you're wondering what could that be used for?
Yes.
Paper, pencils,
anything that we need to highlight.
Basically, okay. Consumable.
Basic general supplies, okay. And that would include for our printing ink and all of that that we need to print.
It could, but
for books and binding and...
That's where that would go, but currently those costs are not tracked separately from superintendent or... I believe that your costs are probably charged to superintendent.
So my currently I know that there are two board members that you get the get the paper and ink and binding, so I'm wondering where those supplies and are coming from, if they're coming out of that general or if they're coming out of Dr. Galavis's office supplies, or where is that money is coming from?
Currently they're coming out of Dr. Galavis.
Okay. So if it's, and this is where I asked the board, if it's for our use, shouldn't it come out of that general line item, general supplies? Because essentially it's our, that we're yeah, regardless if it's pens or whatever it is that's here, I mean, it's our expense. And also this budget should include any kind of mileage that is used to deliver items, anything like that, that should all come out of if that general, I guess it would come out of that general supplies mileage, because when things get delivered to us or whatever, that should all be tracked so we know how much we're using. And so all those items need to be put on there as far as, because I know that warehouse does deliver things to us sometimes. So I think it's important that, again, we're transparent to the community and how much money we're actually using in communication between central and us if needed.
Okay, and yes, you're correct. Those costs, the labor, the vehicle,
right,
the gas, all of that is charged to the warehouse.
Currently. Right. So it's, in reality, it should be charged to us because, and that, this was my whole reasoning for this item, is because it is to benefit us, so we need to be transparent to the community, because in reality, what is it being written down at warehouse is as, when in reality it's our expense, it's not student expense.
It is our
expense.
It is. It's our expense. It's not right. Students.
What's it?
No.
What was it?
Well, she was asking about 6399.
41. Okay, it's 41. Okay. I answered my own question, sorry.
Go ahead. I like it that way.
No, I answered my own question.
You did?
Yeah.
Okay.
Yeah.
And I don't have any more questions on this. I just wanted to make those clarifications that any expenses that are acquired by the board that are transparent being put on this budget so that the public is aware of what expenses were acquired.
So I saw mailbox there, and I don't know if the rest of the board is getting a mailbox, but mine is kind of... I don't know, but
it's a $150 outdoor mailbox.
No, I know, but
yeah.
Is the rest of the board getting
that
or?
That item?
If you need one. If you need one, you can have one. Sergio Coronado had one. So let's take this another direction, maybe. it sounds like what I'm hearing is there's an issue that not everybody has a computer that costs probably $1,000 or more, correct? And that not everyone uses a computer. And you know what? That's everyone's choice. And I seriously doubt that there's going to be enough paper used to cover the cost of the mobile broadband or any of the other computer costs. So I don't know what the problem is, but if there is a problem, I think you need to be more clear about it. And I'll take that a second step. And let's go for real transparency here. There's an $802.50 charge for cowbells, memo boards, ballpoint pens, and water bottles. Now, I can tell you I didn't get any of those.
They were not meant for us. They were meant for the community to give back to our constituents.
And so when did the board approve that?
We didn't have to. I was board president, and we could order just like board president can order more bags today, whatever. I thought it was nice to give back to our community instead of keeping the money for ourselves.
And was that indeed transparency, since the rest of the board didn't know about it?
Did you ask for permission to order short shirts for the other two board members?
I don't think I need to. I never asked for
right.
to
and
order
I
you
to,
any either.
And I don't have to order because I we
you gave,
gave them
away. They seem like they're gifts.
We gave them out to the community during football games. And I was not the only one that gave them away during football games.
So, point taken, point given, and would you like to move on?
That's fine. I just ask for transparency for the community.
Mm-hmm. Me too.
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. I understand the broadband. I understand, you know, we're now being whatever, you know, videotaped or whatever. Why is the board paying for that?
Well, I have, and
you know, I mean,
when
I,
did
I
the
have,
board
no, just,
decide
no,
they
I
were going to do it? I don't, I wasn't a part of that vote.
I understand that, I mean, the technology, I get that.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't understand why it's necessarily why it's a 41, and why it's a board. If it is, that's fine. I just didn't.
Which is another question. That really, honestly, never came before the board to live stream these meetings. And it never came to with the cost
yeah,
either.
Yeah, I'm not against
yeah.
it. What I'm saying is, I just don't understand why we're paying
out of our budget.
Because if somebody asked me, I'd say, if when I got here, that's what it was.
But
so
you know,
I mean, that's all. Could you, is that Ms. Pekoski? Do you know if other if that's the that's where it's I think you don't know the five or whatever it is tells us to take it from or.
No, I think that's where it's a during board meetings. It's the only time we use it, so we just took it out of the board budget, and that was with again the with the previous vice president, Mr. Medina, was requesting streaming.
I don't mind the streaming. I was just wondering why it came up.
So that's where we took it.
Local decision. Answer your question.
Thank you.
Any other questions or discussion? No? Next agenda item. I would like, if with the board's permission, to move up agenda item B1. I believe we've gotten a speaker here tonight on that. Everybody good with that? D1.
D1.
To move it forward. Everybody good?
Yeah. D, human resources. Number one, discussion and recommendation regarding one new full-time FTE for Northwest Early College High School and two new part-time FTEs for Sebastian Carolina Reyes Elementary and Jose Damian Elementary.
And are there any questions that the board has for Ms. Crosco on these positions?
Where's this money coming out of? It wasn't budgeted in the fiscal year?
No, sir. Basically, during personnel committee, this information was brought forward. We are requesting for two part-time positions, two receptionists, to make that a full-time position for Jose Damian and Reyes, based on the staffing allocations that the board approved. They have now met their enrollment numbers that require them to have a full-time receptionist. Both principals have
come to... We're in the middle of a fiscal year.
Pardon me?
We're in the middle of a fiscal year, but I'll let you...
That's correct. And then we are also from Northwest Early College. There is a reorg, and there is a need for a full-time receptionist. We've had discussions at length that there is a need for the full-time registrar. So there is the need because of their interaction with El Paso Community College and just the unique situation that they have. That we are requesting for that FTE. If you recall, for this budget year, we did not, we were not allocated any PES funds. But now, as you know, we've progressed through it during the year, there is money from lab salaries that Ms. Pekarski has says that is available to fund these positions at this point, from this point moving forward for the end of the year.
I have a question.
I do too.
How many office personnel are there in Northwest?
At Northwest Early College, they have a part-time receptionist. They have an office business manager. They have a part-time, which is a 0.5, receptionist. They have a full-time office business manager, and they have a full-time attendance clerk.
Sure.
Oh.
Madam Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
But somebody is serving as a registrar right now, aren't they?
Well, they're kind of wearing many hats, and the speaker is here. She can elaborate on that. But I know that they all pitch in to help to make sure that the office runs as smoothly as possible. You know, sometimes one of them is doing, is serving as a book clerk. So they're all having to split those duties that normally are held at campuses. For example, Ms. Speaker did point out to me that she's being funded as a middle school, and so she would like to have some of the same arrangements that a middle school has. And they do have a registrar. And so at this point, she is needing, you know, that is something that she's requesting would be crucial to her operations. Ms. Speaker, is there anything that you'd like to add?
I would like to have my first question answered first.
What is your first question?
Where's the money coming from? And Ms. Speaker, I mean, since the beginning, that campus has been understaffed, underfunded. So I understand that, and I'll get to my crux later, but I want to first get to my first question and then have Ms. P, or I guess whoever is going to, where's the funding coming from?
We're going to use the lab salaries for the current year.
So it's salary savings the same as last position?
Same as
which
last.
Is the same as dipping in the fund balance. What's your interpretation of dipping in the fund balance and salary savings?
Well, it's this is not the best way to fund the position, but however, we do have some savings in this year because of other vacancies. And so what administration has agreed to do is, because we are moving this money out of those positions to cover this, then we will have to make an arrangement for the next year. So yeah. when that will hit us is next year.
What does salary savings go to?
It goes to fund balance.
So in reality, we're dipping in the fund balance for these positions.
Except that it's already budgeted, right?
Well, they're not budgeted. That's the whole problem. The positions are not budgeted. So basically, I think what he's getting at is that every month the savings for people that we don't pay, that money stays in the fund balance. And so we're going to borrow some of that money for those who we have not paid for this up to this point to fund these positions.
I know that that elusive 500 number is either we always get hit on. What are we using? You know, and we have been steadfast I know the administration has been steadfast with that rule that 500 kids, they would get a full-time reception. We would have to sit through committee meetings, and I have scars on my back from principals of saying, I said, we're not doing it until it's 500. The board approved that. Mm-hmm. And they don't have it, they have to sustain it. So it's not like it was, so, and we did this, and you know, I'm sorry, we should have put a PEZ in. Then if we didn't put a PEZ in, when we make this, we kind of have an administration try to do their job with the broken leg, because to not have a PEZ is ludicrous. But, and this is something that is well known. Would you say that, Ms. Carrasco, that, you know, we've been telling the principals, they come every year, they try to fund it out of their instruction, we wouldn't let them. They try to do it, and we follow that TASB staffing ratio, which has been approved by the board. And so I think, absolutely, this is something that principals know, they have been told, not just, they've been told every year, that when they reach 500, only when they reach 500, will they get that position. And it would not be coming out of their instructional. So I do think it was kind of far-sighted not to put in a PEZ, because then, and I'm absolutely, I agree with Mr. Rodriguez that things have to be budgeted. That's what I find so frustrating, is when we say that promise to people, then I guess we're going to have to fund our promises. From now on, we're going to have to make sure we put this in.
Ms. Krasko or Ms. Fikarski, either one, what we're looking at essentially is $28,000 out of this year's budget. Is that correct? For all of these people?
Yeah.
That's what I'm reading. If the board will look at page 141 and 143. Am I correct in saying that it's $16,000 for the person at Northwest Early College and $6,300 apiece for the other two? Is that correct?
That's correct. And that's the estimation was done at midpoint. So you never know, depending on the experience,
but that's, it could be. $30,000 is about what we're looking at?
That's correct. Okay.
Just so the board knows that there's a dollar sign with them.
What was the dollar sign from you? The last position that we added last month?
The librarian position, we estimated at 55. They have not hired a position for that yet.
It was for half of a year, though. Remember,
year,
we
yes.
went through that. It was like.
Yes.
So this is the crux that I'm having is what we go through is a budget process. You approve the budget. You know, the positions are there for the year. It's not, you know, I reached the 500 in mid-year and now I need it right now. And I think what we need to look at, we dipped in a fund balance last month, 30,000. We're dipping in another 30. What's going to come next month? And I think that's where, you know, we should be looking at when it comes to the budget season is making sure we fill these positions and making sure we have a balanced budget when we fill these positions. And so I do have an issue in mid-year continuing to hire and create positions. And so I think it's bad. I think it's bad management on our part. And if you look at the deficit that we already have and we're adding it, if we had, you know, money and set aside where we had that, we don't. And so that's the crux of the issue. I know Ms. Beaker, since the beginning, I was actually looking at an email. I'm cleaning my old emails, and I went through an email from Dr. Dell and pretty much told us about the staffing. It was way worse then, and I talked to you about it this weekend. But I think as a district and as staff, we need to make sure that we look at this when it comes to budget time and not in the middle of the year.
Okay.
Absolutely, Mr. Rodriguez, and I concur with what you were saying. The position that we recovered last month, basically, as I explained to you, during the budget season, we were tasked with finding salary savings and where we could cut. We did turn to a plan of having split the librarians in the position at the elementary level. We were going to have a librarian shared between the campuses. However, the request from the board was that plan was not to move forward and that we were to have a librarian. So that was in honor of a board request to bring the librarian back.
That would be a clarification. I don't think the board requested it as a whole. Maybe individuals might have. And it might have been a political season in regards to that. But at the beginning of the budget year, we said it was that's the route we were going. We should have stuck to that route. And I expressed that last time. We should have stuck to that budget so that way we wouldn't have duplicated until this next fiscal year. And if we wanted to change that, we approved the budget as a board and we knew that was going to happen.
Yes, and I did bring the librarian position forward and it was approved by the board last month. So again, that's why I'm before you today, bringing and letting you know that we have two campuses that have reached that number, that magic number that has been set in a board-approved staffing schedule. And the principals now have come to me asking that we live up to what has been approved and allow them to hire a part-time receptionist.
And I think that should go during the budget season.
And so, of course, that would be your all's decision to make at this point in time. I am just here, as I said, requesting. I have consulted with Ms. Pekarsky. She assured me that there was money in lapsed salaries. I understand that lapsed salaries are monies that were already budgeted and that are not being used. Now, I would understand that at the end, that money would be returned to fund balance, but currently it is sitting somewhere in a salary line item, not in the fund balance. Yes.
But that money is taken away from our fund balance. Okay. Yes, we dipped in the fund balance to pay for the salaries. It's the same thing.
So, we've had a lot of good talk about this. It sounds like this should not go to the consent agenda. This should go to the full board for a vote. And so let's, everybody have enough information on the positions from staff, or would you like some more? Do you want any more information?
I would just like to hear from colleagues, if not, I guess.
From Armando?
No, just from my colleagues in regards to one, dipping into fund balance, and two, hiring positions in mid-year. We could have that discussion at that
point. Or will, you know, yes, I agree. I hear all that. But, I mean, do you want to ask them anything else right now?
I think it's much needed. I think it's just, it should go through the budget process, and it should be put in the next fiscal year budget and filled.
So, possibly what I'm hearing now from Ms. Carrasco and Ms. Pekarsky would please expand upon this between now and the regular board meeting so that every board member understands where the lapped salaries are, where they came from, you know, a much more specific, targeted area of where the money's coming from. So that they can make a more well-informed decision. Is that money, you know, are we going over to the savings account and getting it, or is it already in the budget over here? If you could clarify that, I think it might be really helpful. And then if anybody has questions in between, please call.
And this speaker is here this evening, and if you would entertain her sharing her thoughts on this.
Well, I think since this is going to new business, I think we'll just hold off. We'll filter questions by the board. And we know general the thinking of the board overall. But I just want to clarify what when things are passed by the board, it's one board making those financial decisions. It's not individual. So thank you. We'll just take this up at the speaker. You can go home. And you got kids. And
but if you will, please clarify, because I understand Mr. Rodriguez's issue. We've set a budget. We all tightened our belts. We're on this path to July. Just, you know, get us through June. Yet, we've got extenuating circumstances, obviously.
Yes.
And you seem to know how to make the bridge, Ms. Pekarsky. And we obviously aren't quite getting it yet. So if you'll just make that clear, I think it would be really helpful.
Ms. Earls.
Yes, ma'am.
Yes, I agree with Mr. Rodriguez as far as saying that it should come and it should be budgeted. But again, it was lack of foresight from our board not to give a PEZ because we don't have a crystal ball. And these are things that we have approved. It's not like it's not hidden. So if you have the lab salaries, those are in the budget. That's a budget that you approved. Yes, if we have extra savings, it will go into fund balance. However, that's not like somebody coming up and say, oh, listen, I need to buy a gator for AMS and it's $10,000 and we're going to take it directly from fund balance. Now that was not, you know, but these salary savings, that means either people were not hired or that woman over there got them at a lower price. And so what she budgeted for is, oh, you know, so it's in a line item. That's different. You cannot tie administration's hands by saying not giving them PEZ and not letting us and not following. You tell us to follow the rules. You tell administration to follow the rules. We're following what a board-approved document to go for funding. And what we're saying is because of good management from the administration as far as, so there is some salary savings. It is already in a budgeted line item for salaries, whether it's 6118, whether it's 6121, whatever it is, it's under, whether it's an 11 or 21 or, you know, 31 or whatever all the function codes are. But so I do think, Ms. Searles, that we could put this as a
new business.
Thank you.
Yeah, it'll go to new business.
Thank you, ma'am.
Ms. Searles.
Yes, ma'am.
It is in the budget of the campuses. The money is in the budget of the campuses?
No.
The lab salaries are, as Ms. Brigham just said, the salary is budgeted for everyone for the whole year. For everyone at the district.
Right.
So if someone leaves, retires, terminates, whatever, and then it takes a while to get that person hired.
That money is
in between. There's a lapse, and that lapse is the lapse.
So it's not at the campus. It's not budgeted. She needed a substitute. That is budgeted in a line item. Mm-hmm. And is the salary for the new person budgeted in one of her line items?
It would be budgeted for that same person. So
no.
It goes by position.
It's in a position, huh?
It goes by the position.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Okay.
But these are you talking about these in these new positions?
Uh-huh. Those are new created positions?
Well, they haven't been created yet. And once the board approves it, I will create them in the system. And then finance would make sure that we have the funding for those positions. Mm-hmm. So they're not created yet. Any new FTE, I come before the board for approval, and then we create the position in the system.
Okay.
Madam Chair? Yes, ma'am. Uh-huh. Okay. Run by this one. I'm a little slow today. Run this one by me again. How many staff members, support staff members, are at the Early College?
In the office, it's 2.5.
2.5. And how many students?
343. So I just want you to consider that we have less clerical staff than any other campus. just comparing other middle schools, they have 6 full-time clerical staff. And remember, we're a high school. We are required to do anything that a high school needs to do. You need a full-time registrar. You need to be able to send transcripts to colleges for scholarships. You need to receive them, and you need to input credit that students have earned at EPCC and UTEP. That is a full-time job. We have the same clerical staff that we have since it opened, the same number of people. And our enrollment has tripled. I know we're smaller than the other campuses, but we have grown. And it's becoming increasingly more difficult for our clerical staff to keep up with the amount of work they have.
Madam Chair, I just wanted to clarify, Ms. Speaker. I know you need the.
I know. Solve my problem.
That's not the issue. I think not only do you need one, you probably need more because of the type of work that you're actually doing in comparison to your, whether it's a neighboring school or it's the level of work is a lot more intense, and so. I understand that. That's not the crux of the issue. The crux is,
the funding.
Well, I mean, we're extremely in a huge deficit, which was a board decision, and we continue to, instead of trying to look at that and minimize that deficit, we're adding to it.
I understand.
Any other questions, Rachel? Did that?
Yeah, no, because that's what I do. Mm-hmm. That's what I was asking. Mm-hmm. And I do the same thing. I not only do the transcripts and everything, I'm also the principal secretary. I'm also the one that types up all POs. I also do all the, I just goes on and on. But we're a small school. So we're in a lot of different hands. I wish I had help.
I was going to ask you.
Okay.
Right.
To new business, please.
All right.
And I believe we also, with the board's permission, we have got B2. We also have another person here, community member on B2. If Sonia, you could take us to that. With the board's permission, we're going to take it out of order.
All right.
B like boy 2.
Thank you, ma'am.
Discussion and recommendation regarding facilities request made by the Catholic Diocese of El Paso, Texas.
And this is Daniel Flores.
Good evening, Daniel Flores.
Good evening.
Are there any questions on this agenda item? We got it on page 87 in our board books. Does anybody? Yes, ma'am.
First of all, I'm fine with it. The only thing, Dr. Mejil, that I know it's been practice is that we can waive most everything. The only thing we cannot waive is the custodians. I know everybody says they'll take care of it, but I'm sorry. We need to pay the custodians. We need to make sure, but everything else, I am totally in favor of. Because we have done this, I know, for other churches, and I've always charged custodial services.
So, Mr. Flores, do you understand that as a district that is our practice, that, and it'll be our custodians? You won't have to go, find some?
Yes, I understand, and we're okay with it.
Thank you.
So you're good with our custodians, because our big thing is... It needs to be just like you found it when you leave.
That's fine. And we will actually feel more comfortable having custodians.
And you understand there will be a cost with that?
Yes.
Okay.
We needed the approval before we could
work forward.
Work with the price.
I understand. So is everyone okay to recommend that to the consent agenda?
Yes.
Yes. And that will go to the full board on the 24th of January, sir. And thank you very much for considering us.
Thank you. Thank you.
We feel blessed.
God bless you.
Thank you, sir. Yeah, thanks for listening to all the fun that goes on here, sir. Maybe you could pray for us.
And Sonia, that would take us back to A2.
Discussion and recommendation regarding the Gallupview Board of Trustees 2017 agenda review and regular board meeting dates for January through December 2017.
This was my item, and I was just asking for the board to come in agreement with a 2017 calendar so that everybody can make plans for our meetings, and most importantly, our community knows when our meetings will take place.
Okay. And this
is anything else?
I think. Just real quick, I'm okay with it because I've put my year in calendar in regards to my travel to make sure that I'll be here on those days. So.
Okay, so they're pretty standard.
Yeah.
Everybody can see, and I talked to y'all ahead of time, if you'll recall. So.
Thank you.
Yeah.
Thank you.
I'm okay to recommend it.
Yeah, me too.
And I don't think we even need to, I think this goes with
change.
The others.
No, it's good.
Okay, next agenda item.
Okay, that will be item number 3, discussion and recommendation regarding the Gallupview ISD board team operating procedures regarding avenues of communication.
And for this item, I'm asking for the board to start a call log with our legal staff, anybody else that we speak to, so that information that is given to one board member is given to all board members. Often when we ask questions, Mr. Rodriguez may ask a question, and at the time, I might not think that I would like to know that information, but after I read it, it's maybe something that we do need to think about, or that answers a question maybe we're already thinking about. So I think a call log would be really important so that we know what communication is and what is the purpose of the communication. And that would be for our legal and for all staff of the district.
I believe legal is already, he asked if he's doing this, but this is already on board operating procedures, so I don't. Is that correct?
Yes, it is.
It is.
So.
On the, as far as the attorney, is it that, don't we require the attorney to give an itemized? And so there it is there.
That's what Mr. Rodriguez just said.
Okay. Yes. We're saying so for all other staff.
I guess your question is it in practice or federal? Are you?
Right. Are we
following
documenting
board operating procedures?
Mm-hmm. Cool. Okay, so I'm again.
Go ahead.
Okay, then I probably violated again. I'm always violating stuff.
So we're going to invite you to the Catholic event.
I know.
We heard about your kindergarten experience.
Yeah,
is there going to be confession?
Yeah, because, I understand, because a lot of times it's even like my printer wasn't working today, and I know Ms. Moreno had that, what do you call the DIP, the district improvement plan. So I did pick up the phone and say, could you make me a copy? So, because my printer wouldn't behave. So things like that, I can see us just going, why don't we just go to the superintendent?
That's the very best thing. And the board, we've been down this road before, and legalism does not really work real well. Unity, trust, respect, seems to work better. I don't think there's anybody in here going behind everybody's back to weasel. Let me just twist Dr. Galavisa's arm to see if only I can get this information. I don't think that's happening. I feel like we're getting really good information, actually, and our weekly packet will begin to be weekly again, as called for in our board operating procedures. And I think that is going to also, everybody's getting it. And if somebody asks for it, it goes in that Thursday packet.
So I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
So,
you didn't violate. It would just be, in other words, a record. Like, in other words, Okay, Ms. Brigham called in regards to...
yeah, but I should go. And even when after I did it, I went, oops.
No, you know what I mean? Staff. Because...
But you could have found that on your little computer there, right?
I did have it, but it wouldn't print.
But you couldn't print it. So it's nothing that you couldn't have done anyhow.
Yeah,
so you,
I just couldn't print it.
And that takes up valuable time from staff to keep a log of everybody who's spoken to them.
But I really think if it is the recommendation of the superintendent that we all go through him, I have no problem bombarding him.
I think you could, let's say if you wanted to call, I guess the PIO is right there, in regards to something that came out on the paper, maybe a development that hasn't been on the paper yet, but you want to give her a heads up, then she should be able to say, hey, Mondo called on some development. Boom, it goes to the superintendent. The superintendent shares that with us because don't we all want to know about development? Or it might be...
I know there's times when we had to do a follow-up. And sometimes you remember it, and I'm going to be honest with you, sometimes you don't. Because, you know, it's not, again, that I'm trying to break the rules. It's just that sometimes I need to.
So I guess, and I'm going to use you, Ms. Brigham, as a former associate. So many times we were in your office, and you would say, hey, trustee called me regarding this. And I gave him this information. So, and it was like, okay, done, information. So what I'm hearing from Mr. Rodriguez is you want that on 117, the associate suit spoke to trustee X, and it was about development.
Bless you.
Bless you.
Is that what I'm hearing?
Mm-hmm.
Yeah, that's what board operating procedure.
See, I'm telling you, I'm always breaking the
law. And so you have to come up with them. Maybe we should have a whole new class on board operating procedures because we're back to look at our board operating procedures. We're back to you know, if somebody calls, how do you make the determination? Somebody calls Dr. Galavis. I'm going to call him. Dr. Galavis, what time does school start on Thursday? Does the whole board really want him to have to write up? Mrs. Searles called me to find out what time school started on Thursday. I told her it was at 8 o'clock like it always was. And, I mean, should he have to take his time to write everything? Or how do you decide what was important, what wasn't important? I think it should be on an information basis that if you're asking for something, and not like Miss Brigham did for our, you know, our regular report that anybody could ask where everybody's got complete access to at any time they want to. They could even have it at home if they wanted it. I don't see how that could be worthy of, well, she asked for, what'd you ask for, Miss Brigham?
The district improvement plan.
She asked for that. Oh my gosh, I guess everybody wants that now. And so Sonia or someone has got to now go make sure seven people all got a copy of the district improvement plan, and they're all going, why did we get this? We didn't really want this.
I don't think that's the case. It's just, well, maybe the district improvement plan, you know, you don't have to get the actual information. It would just be a call log saying, you know, you might have asked for it, right, Mr. Earls, and you might have gotten a hard copy. And
right.
I could just easily go online and look at the district.
That's right.
And so it's not necessarily giving the information, but I think it's under the board operating procedures and it's not being practiced. So
where do you see it? Tell me.
Communication paging.
Page 8. Okay.
Let me see. Well, I'm looking at the digital version and... So I'm seeing if it's on page 8 right now.
Yes, it says communication on B. So it says that the superintendent will communicate with each board member via weekly board information packets to inform them of significant incidents. However, the following information is going to be communicated on the day of occurrence, and it gives you a whole list of stuff.
And, Chair?
Yes, ma'am.
I don't know, maybe I just thought it was standard that if we do ask for information,
yeah.
I always mention, make sure you share it
with everybody. I think
I
we
believe
all
that
do.
We should all share whatever.
Where I'm not understanding that trust and respect is being kicked under the table.
So for I guess it's not necessarily everybody gets the DIP, the district improvement plan. However, what I guess for clarification, and I'm again sorry, Ms. Brigham, use as an example. You called Ms. Moreno today.
I texted her.
You texted her. Hey, I need the DIP.
Yep.
And so, as a board, I guess, do you all want a log that says 117 times 1008, Ms. Brigham, Trustee Brigham, contact staff, Moreno, request a DIP lab, DIP. Is that what you all want? Mm-hmm.
Yes.
Yeah.
No.
Well, we can vote on it.
Well, I think that's what the board operating procedure says.
But you know, they don't say that. Tell me where they do. Because they don't say that.
The superintendent will distribute any information requested by board president and other board members to each member of the board.
There you go. But it's not, it doesn't say he's going to write down every person who called him and at the time they called him.
Significant issues.
Yeah, it doesn't. That's really, that, in my opinion, is just so wrong on every level.
The thing is, it's in the board operating procedures.
Okay, but where? Read that to me. Where does it say he's going to keep a phone log?
It doesn't say a phone log. It's, we complain about the superintendent not communicating enough, so we're just asking for more communication.
We're going to get it, that weekly packet that we have not had for the past year. That's coming back just as it says it's supposed to be in the board operating procedures. So that's coming every week.
I don't think you have to put the time, the date stamp. You just have to say, hey, you know, this, because it might be, let's say if it was me calling, hey, did you hear about this development? I think, you know, somebody else might, hey, Mondo called about a development. Does the rest of the board, somebody else could call and pick up the phone and call the superintendent and say, hey, oh, so what type of development is going on? Oh, it's, you know, the new Costco would be nice, right? Mm-hmm. So then that's, I think what it is that we're all board members, and if somebody requests or calls, I think it's being transparent for us to all know what is being asked of, so.
It sounds like Nazi behavior to me. I mean, it just really does. I mean, where's the freedom in trust and respect when you're shackling this poor man with, he's got a, oh, I've got an appointment, but I better write down, Mrs. Searles called about, I don't know, whatever I would have called about. I think that we're strapping this guy and his staff with something that doesn't need to be. I mean, we can read on this communication what needs to be. We all sat down and agreed that's what needed to be. And it wasn't a call log. In fact, those of us who have sat here long enough know that that has been soundly rejected by the board as bad, absolutely bad operating procedure. And, I mean, when you read all of this that's on communication, I see nothing in there that says phone log. So if you want a phone log, we're going to have to go back and review and redo this board operating procedure, is my opinion. Because it doesn't say that anywhere in here. It says he's going to give us all the information. If one person asks for it, he's given it to everybody. Do y'all think he's been keeping information from you?
No.
Well, you all thought, I mean, I don't want to go into stuff we discussed in closed session, so I think some of the problems was at the crux, and so if we want to address it, I think we should just be more transparent and make sure that this.
But we're going to get something that under the whole last year we didn't have. We're going to have a weekly packet again, which is what's written in this board operating. And with that done, Dr. Gallaby has already, I mean, we've already had in December a weekly letter, a weekly report, an update, if you will. Everything that's written in here, I read over this today. Everything in here on communication is done. And there is nothing about a board log. So if y'all want that part in, we're going to have to go back and discuss it.
Actually, wasn't it under the Texas Education Agency that was requested? Yes, they're requested. Hector, do you remember that? It was a thing by the Texas Education Agency to keep.
I don't think that there's a requirement for a log.
Not a requirement, but there was something that...
It's a suggestion or...
Well, we actually have to report to the state the board requests that aren't approved by the board in open session. So let's say you ask for a special report and it's assigned to me. I have to calculate the cost related to that report, and that's the information we report to PEAMS.
Okay. So, again, Ms. Brigham, I'm going to use you.
Right, on page 9, it has request information not related to meeting agendas on 2A, B, C, D, E. And it's, you know, the superintendent may, at his discretion, refer to the board member to a staff person with knowledge. Do you know what I mean? And then another one, it says the board members should contact the superintendent or cabinet members to request information. So it's right here, but it's not, but it's already here. And what we're asking is for more. And I think if we just say a protocol, if we're going to go through the superintendent, I think that's more than enough.
I want clarification. Sure. And again, you asked Ms. Moreno for the DIP. I don't have a problem with that. Mm-hmm. But I wouldn't have known, nor do I think I should distribute the DIP to the rest of the board.
Mm-hmm. Well, they're printing my work.
Mm-hmm. So I guess I never would have known that because I didn't see Ms. Moreno today or day-to-day interaction, and again, we're all busy preparing. And so,
they're busy.
Yeah, so I don't want to be penalized, I guess, for not giving the rest of the board the DIP, the DIP.
No, but I think if you follow...
But the only reason she asked for it, because she couldn't print it. It wasn't that every one of us couldn't access it, except for me, I guess. Anytime they felt like, just tap around on your little device, you're in, you got the DIP too. The only reason she couldn't get it was because she couldn't print it. Nobody else wanted it, wasn't relevant to anyone else. Correct? And everyone else could access that anytime they wanted.
I think it's good practice for staff to call the superintendent or even email, hey, I just printed this.
I would do that.
And you've done it. So I don't think it's nothing wrong. And then the other one would just say, hey, Annette just got this print. Great. Okay. There's nothing wrong with that. I think it's transparent.
Yeah, I think it
doesn't have to be a log. I'm just saying it has to be communicated. If a board member requests something or requests information or calls about something, then it should be communicated to the rest of the board. It doesn't have to be, at this time, at this day, at this hour.
Okay, thank you. So just what we've got written here is what we want to hone in, maybe sharpen up and adhere to.
And it should be provided in the
weekly packet. Agreed. Okay.
Just in your comments or whatever, that's it.
Thank you.
It doesn't have to be.
Okay.
That's it.
Next agenda item, please.
Yes, ma'am. Discussion and recommendation regarding the governance training by Deputy Commissioner A.J. Crabber.
And so I think that man's name is misspelled again.
Cargo?
Is that? A.J. Crabber.
Oh, it's Cargo.
That was my mistake. It's got my number.
What is it?
Carbill? Crabbill?
What is Carbill?
I think it might have been mine.
Crab Hill.
Crab Hill.
Yes,
Crab Hill.
Crab
Hill.
Oh, Ill.
Might have been mine. Right. I mean, it's so small. So, just real quick, Ms. Trout was lucky enough to attend this conference, and Dr. Valdez, I don't know if there was other staff members.
No,
So it was, I had scheduled for that, and I was trying to come in on that Sunday, I mean Saturday, excuse me, to, because I was out of town, and I was trying to get on that training. And so if you look at some of the information we've gotten with TASB and some of the other stuff, what's going on across the state is, of course, you have a new commissioner, and you have now a deputy commissioner of governance. And so what he sent out to certain school districts was, and I wish I should have printed it. So pretty much he told the districts that had failing schools that if he did not attend this governance training and followed it to a T, there's three options that TEA has. And one is appointing the board of managers. Two is having the campus taken over by a private company, and three would be to close the campus down. And so this next round of, I think the commissioner is more open into value-added education, making sure we educate kids instead of our previous commissioner, which was not that in my opinion. And so they developed this training, which I don't know if Ms. Trout, you want to talk about if it was good, bad, should we attend?
Thank you very much. It's a very, very interesting training for me that I have the privilege to attend with Dr. Galaviz. It's something that I really encourage to everybody. Even he said so, you know, that the superintendent and the persons they work with you very close, they'll be invited to take this course because everything works as a group. I mean, because what am I going to do, or Dr. Galaviz by itself? It's a team, and everybody needs to take this training because it really puts you out of the court, you know. It really, really moves you, and it really puts you in a place and center you, and I really learned a lot. So it's something that I could explain, but it's nothing like if you take it. It's something very recommendable to take. So that way, what I learned is everybody could be in the same thought, in the same pace, so we could understand better. So definitely, I highly recommend.
And so one of the questions, so then I emailed him back. He said, no, you have to be here for the full amount. He says, but there's another training in Austin, and I think it's this coming weekend, and I believe some people from Isleta went to it. And so the other question was, I believe he said that if the board is fully committed, and I think we should be, and so that's why I brought it to the board, is to schedule a date with him so that way he could come and we could have staff, and so we're all fully on board. And we've heard throughout the year that, you know, why don't you bring training to us? And so he's willing, from my understanding, to come if the full board's committed. And so I want to make sure that the full board is committed for at least to go out and get that invitation. They came out, I think, in this last Friday packet that they're having another training. But I think it's better for us to bring him in than us going out. And so if we could all be committed, and then see if Pedro could schedule, or Dr. Galaviz could schedule a time, and then we could do this as a team, I think it would help enlighten us, and then possibly staff, and then we could open it up to others. So if that's okay with everybody, I would like to recommend it to the board, so that way we could be fully committed.
And just for clarification, just as I emailed him, there's a training February 3rd and 4th in Austin. It's on a Friday and Saturday. It's 9 to 6. And when he means 9, it's 9 o'clock. And as Ms. Trustee Trout, he's very, when it comes to time, making sure that you're there at 9. It is. So, but like, in his email, and what his words are, is that he's only committed as much as we as a board and administration. It's a Friday, Saturday, because he's coming in from Austin. I know some of you work, some of you have other obligations, but it is a commitment of 2 days, 9 to 6. So I just want to put that out there.
Thank you, Mr. Rodriguez. Next agenda item.
I'll be on the board for... Is everybody okay with that? Yeah, just cut feather on and come back with it. Okay.
Well, okay, so you don't really want this on the agenda.
Yeah.
You do...
Well, we have the dates first.
So yeah, that's what I'm thinking. Don't you think we find the dates?
Federal with Tom, we're fully committed. He'll bring back some dates. And I want the board to vote on it so that way we could say that, hey, AJ Carbell or Crabbell.
So
whatever.
It is spelled correctly, actually.
Crabbell. So another thing, so he used to be a board member in Missouri, where he helped fix the whole board in Missouri. And so he understands, and I've had people from Fort Worth to Austin, other people telling me, like, hey, this training. And so
I think it's just better. Trout was so, so happy.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. So.
I just need the dates.
Yeah. So I guess, by the
way, life is in the way, you know.
The good thing that he told us is he'd be willing to come. And he says, first of all, you guys try to make arrangements which day, but if you guys want me December the 25th, I'll be there. So in other words, he'll come here according to our needs. But it has to be,
if he's not
that has to be that everybody,
yeah, right,
all of us should be there. Something, right. Something that would be worth it. Then no one else has
missed. I think that would be kind of neat. We would probably be the first full board that has taken it together.
That would be nice.
Yeah, it'd be real nice.
Really nice.
But don't you think that we ought to figure the date?
Don't
get the cart before the horse.
In other words, what we're telling him is we're fully committed, and we set it as a board. Now you need to come with us and work on our date so you could come down.
Okay, so just consent agenda. Yep. Everybody's happy? Okay, fine.
Item number 5, discussion and recommendation regarding the Texas legislative agenda. Mr. Rodriguez.
So I'm sure you all got some letters in the past from both the senator and I think our legislative delegation. They were asking for something. Of course, the legislative session started yesterday, but it's never too late. And so one of the things I wanted to give some ideas, and hopefully we could draft a small agenda just to the point, and then hopefully approve it at the board meeting so we could look at it. And so I'm just thinking of if you guys have any other thoughts in regards to this agenda, my 5 priorities, hopefully there are. So if you guys want to add to it, take away, then we could discuss that. Of course, we all know funding is probably the most critical one in regards to, you know, we need to keep improving the equitable school funding, including the funding weights for ELLs and economically disadvantaged students. And we need to make sure that it's a lot, I guess, an easier funding formula that provides the funding that we need. The other one is pre-K, and one of the things is all-day pre-K. One of the things is AQF ratings, and I want to commend our superintendent and staff because, from my understanding, we have 0 schools under the F rating in comparison to some of our neighboring school districts. We won't say names.
I will.
But but we that's huge. That is extremely huge in regards to this difficult rating system. And so we need something. The commissioner spoke to us briefly in December and talked about us, how he wanted to make sure that it was more of a value added and how he looked at it. But the AQF needs to be relooked at and hopefully changed, and it looks like it's going to change. So that's one of the things. One of the things that we've always talked about is high stakes testing. We need to make sure that we eliminate the high stakes testing and advocate for multiple criteria assessments or certifications. And then the other one, of course, is the transparency. As you all know, I think it was House Bill 343, which was the requirement for financial disclosures. In the past, we've said that we're okay with making sure we're transparent to the community, but of course, the last legislative session, it did not make that a state thing. It was targeted to this region, and we want to make sure that they make it a state thing. and not targeted to our region, as well as other training, so that way we make sure that board members are knowledgeable and trained on issues of that.
So, Mr. Rodriguez, we were supposed to have done all this back, like the cutoff date was October, and it was never brought to the board, and we didn't do anything. So we've got the TASB, or no, actually it's a TASA on page 57. We've got their legislative priorities. I can see some of them that fall in line with yours, with what you're saying. Have you looked at them? Do you see that too? That some of them kind of go right along that?
Yes. And so pretty much what we can do is adapt some of this stuff. If you all look at any of the stuff that you all want to add to it, that it would just be a letter to our legislative delegation focusing on that. So those are my five. If you guys want to add another one, two, or three. I think these are... No, I didn't put mine. It was... What we had was... In the past, we've had just a draft letter telling our legislative delegation and then addressing these five issues. If you all want to add another one, we could add another one.
Why don't... Mr. Rodriguez, why don't you write them down?
Yeah. Yeah.
Or give them to Dr. Galavis. They'll be in the Thursday packet. We'll all get them. And...
But I would like the draft to actually be ready for...
Well, and if anybody has any addition, anybody has any problem, anything, then it'll be on us to call Dr. Galavis between then and now and tell him, listen, we really would like it if this were added or this were subtracted, and then we'll have the final product by board meeting time. In fact, he could give us, we're going to meet again on the 17th. We could get the little rough draft, if anybody has any comments, on the 17th, that they just be passed out to us. And
at this point, is there anybody else that has anything that they want to add? And then what to do? I think on the 17th, we'll just have the draft letter, and then if anybody wants to add to that.
But just, yeah, have those written up, and if those will be passed out, can those go out tomorrow, please? I mean, they're not a lot. Go out tomorrow. Any comments? Bring your comments to the 17th. They can be adjusted there and go forward to the 24th. Everybody good with that?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, so can you give those to Ms. Sonia, please, Armando?
We're on 7.
Okay, we're on 7.
Discussion and recommendation regarding the resolution for the A through F accountability rating system for Texas Public Schools.
So I'd like to see that go to our consent agenda. Is everybody good with that?
Yes.
Ms. Quintana?
Yes,
ma'am.
Okay. A, discussion and recommendation regarding the prevailing wage.
Has everyone had the chance to look at the prevailing wages? And I don't see Mr. Bruno here, but Dr. Galavis, says he said anything to you?
No, ma'am.
You know what I forgot?
Did he feel comfortable with that? Ms. Bukarski, you want to?
Yes, he just jumped up right now.
Sure.
No, he's fine with this.
He's good with this?
Yes, this is just to ensure that any contractors that we do business with are paying a living wage.
Yes. Everyone okay with this going to the consent agenda? Yeah? Wanda?
Yeah.
Okay.
Item B, business services, discussion and recommendation regarding meeting minutes. A, regular board meeting, December the 14th, 2016.
Any question on the board meeting minutes?
No.
To the consent of, Mary, did you?
Mary, did you have a question?
No. Mary, you're good? Okay. We did two
3, discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly financials.
Any questions on the financials? Ms. Pekarsky, I do have a question. The Commerce Bank card that is always reflected in the financials, are those also reflected as a PO in the warrant list? Do you know what I'm asking? Does that?
Yes, I believe that that card is used as a method of payment. So the invoice would have to go through the normal process, a PO, approvals, receiving, all of that. And once we get the three-way match, then it's paid by the credit card.
And I guess the reason I'm asking, I see it on that Commerce card, whatever, hamburgers, we'll just use pizzas. How about some pizzas? And yet I'll see the same entry in the warrant list. Is that...
You mean when we pay Commerce Bank?
No, when we pay the individual. You want me to give you a more specific? Okay. So... Helena Chemicals, and I'm just picking this out because I can remember it in the warrant list. On 12/9, we paid him $142. I believe if we go to the warrant list, you're going to see that same... Helena Chemicals, page 147 on the warrant list.
Can I take it?
Uh-huh. Look. Same amount.
Yes.
And okay. I see, and there's, you know, multiple. I just picked that one out of the hat.
Yes, and that's because the credit card is used as a, just like it was the bank. Like if it was Wells Fargo.
So that because we saw it on this and this, doesn't mean there were two entries. It means there was one entry.
Right.
But it a different method.
That it's on the warrant report, not because we wrote a check from Wells Fargo, but because we paid it on the credit card. And so that's where you're seeing if there was a PO mm-hmm. or an invoice attached to Helena Chemicals or any other vendor.
Uh-huh.
That's why you see it in both places. But this just tells you what is going on the credit card as opposed to what went through the bank account.
So that this card is not paid in one lump sum?
The card is also paid in one lump sum. It's like having another bank account. Instead of using Wells Fargo and writing a check to Helena,
mm-hmm.
we charge their invoice, and so now Helena is paid.
I understand.
Okay, then we pay Commerce Bank separately.
And that's what's reflected here.
Yes, because this is what's used to calculate our rebate.
Okay.
Because we're going to get a rebate based on this.
Okay.
As opposed to Wells Fargo.
Okay. I think I understand. I may have to call you.
We do the same thing with American Express.
Okay. But I don't see that with American Express.
It's not happening yet. Right now you see American Express in here.
Uh-huh.
Because everything is paid through American Express and it's charged to American Express.
Okay.
It's not like it's a bank account because what you're seeing here is the vendor on the system is uh-huh. American Express.
Okay, I think I got it. Thank you. I appreciate it.
As long as you receive the merchandise and have the invoice.
And we only pay once.
And you won't, that's the real key. We're only paying once. We're not paying these people two times. Okay, that's all. Thank you. Next agenda item, please, Sonia.
Discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly warrant list.
Any questions? I've called Ms. Pekarsky. I had a few. I'd like to just bring it up, Dr. Galavese. I thought it was awesome. I think it's one of the happiest things on the warrant list I've ever seen, that we spent money and got Rosetta Stone at our high school.
Yes, ma'am.
and that it's being used to help our ELL students. And I believe it's, I asked for a little update on it, but it sounds like it might be working really well too. And I know that that came out of board meetings, that we had talked about using that and doing it, and, you know, why reinventing the wheel. So I thought it was really awesome to see that. Any other questions or comments? That'll go to the consent agenda, next one.
Discussion and recommendation regarding the monthly donation report.
Any questions?
Answered no.
Okay. 6, discussion and recommendation regarding the purchase of laptops to ensure that 100% of students at Elm Hills High School have access to appropriate instructional classroom resources. Utilizing decision tree technologies, the vendor offering the best value to Gunnfield ISD through DIR SDP 2030 Texas. Cooperative contract, total cost $69,435.
Are there any questions on this? Everybody good to the consent agenda?
Item 7, discussion and recommendation regarding a one-year renewal of ZenWorks desktop management solution for district-wide use through CDWG, the vendor offering the best value to the district utilizing TCPN cooperative contract number R160201, total cost $34,711.09.
Any questions? Come with yoga pants? Back to the consent agenda, please. Thank you, Mr.
Number 8, discussion and recommendation regarding indefinitely postponed / new projects utilizing bond funds. Mr. Vasquez?
So we've been presented with a bond funds report in our packet. It's on page 111. And it looks very cut and dry and clear, with the exception of these are estimates and they could go higher. Yet there's ample money, even if they do go higher, to cover.
Yes, ma'am. That is why we haven't been, you know, adding more projects to the list. We want to be conservative. I know the district has had a rough time in managing construction monies. One thing, of course, that I have in mind is that the bidding market for construction projects is not going to be beneficial for the district, particularly with smaller projects, given the new projects that other districts are going to be putting out. So, as we say in the industry, you know, the contractors are not going to be as hungry. Right. So that is correct.
Yep. I understand that it may not be, the timing may not be right, but mm-hmm. I think we also all understand that every day in a child's life is a long time.
That's true.
Those, like those canopies, you know, getting really hot, heading forward towards summer. I think the board needs to decide, is it time to move and go forward?
And before you do, Ms. Searles, what I would also like, and again, I don't mean to add new projects or but again, just thinking of safety as we were looking at the canopies and shade. And one of the things I met with Coach Brooks right before the holidays, and he was mentioning the turf at the on the field, and he has pictures of it being torn up, and now it's a safety issue. Yeah. Mm-hmm. And he did give me a quote of roughly $42,000, and then to refill and repair and to put the pellets and
pellets back in.
Also, many of those who play tennis, their tennis courts are cracking. And as Mr. Vasquez will attest, it is a band-aid approach, because it's about $52,000 to cover it, the cracks, in order for our tennis team to have a nice tennis court, and they deserve it. So, but I'll let, these are other projects that I like, and I think since we have this money, some of this, the AMS football lighting, talking to Coach Brooks last night, he's like, we don't need lighting at AMS. There's no night games. They all play there today.
There you go.
Understand the boards at that time wanting equality between CMS and AMS. And again, I wasn't there, so we're just presenting these two new projects as, you know, safety concerns for our students.
So, board, would you like to? I mean, we can't let those kids get hurt out on that football team field. Would you like to see, and I don't know how you'd like to see it done, but have Dr. Galavis come back to us with possibly taking that $70,000 that's for AMS football lighting, which Coach Brooks has said is not necessary, and redistributing that to something that would be beneficial in a safety way?
Well, what's the $508,000?
That's what's left over after everything. See all the yellow? The yellow at the top is how much we have.
No, I understand.
The second yellow is what it's going to cost. You got?
I'm just saying, is there any other projects that we promised the voters?
Well, there are many projects that were never completed.
Well, that we told the voters we were going to do under the.
But if you all remember, the Board of Trustees reserved the right to amend these projects as necessary.
Yeah, but when we go out for a bond program and we ask the voters to vote for a bond and we tell them we're going to put stuff in it, then we have to, I mean, we could easily scrap and do something else, but if
that's it?
It's just, okay. What did we tell the voters? And in regards to that, what do we want to put that 508?
Yes, so of course this has been one of the issues that we have been trying to solve, and which is why we're presenting this item to you, because there are indeed other projects that were originally listed that have not been considered.
And where's that list?
I have that list in my office, but I can give you an example. One of them is paving the yard where our buses park. That is a project that was originally on the bond project. I can tell you it is not needed. It was promised, but it was not needed. Of course, this administration was not here when that list was composed. I don't know if the parking area was in bad shape before and then prompting that requirement. Another one was adding an extra bay at the mechanic shop. Unless we hire another mechanic, we really don't have a need for another. So what I'm getting at is that...
Well, I mean, what I would like to see is that list and say, okay, it's not needed, and have staff recommend it to us that it's not needed, because then if we go out for another bond program, we could say, the staff said that wasn't not needed.
Mr. Rodriguez, I could be recalling improperly, but I think that the little box at the bottom of the page is what CBAC finally whittled everything. Is that, you're nodding yes. Am I
yes,
remembering
that correctly? Yes, that is correct.
That
this
bottom
is
box is what CBAC whittled all those other projects down to, that those were the pertinent ones that they wanted us to complete and fulfill, and that the other projects...
CBAC is different from what we promised the voters. So, I mean, I think...
But do you remember, I remembering properly? And that's what we finally came to. Those were the significant ones.
Well, there's still $508,000 that we need to use to close out, right?
Well, potentially. I mean, again, some of these are very rough.
Yeah.
These are 2010.
I will give you another example of why I want to keep this contingency fund. The project that El Paso Water Utilities is building for us, the agreement that was signed between the district and the water utilities allows the water utilities to manage the project. And so any change orders that are needed because of that project are coming out from these budgets.
So we signed that?
Yes. Now, I feel confident in talking to the engineer of record, who also works for the district on helping us with the TCEQ issues, We feel confident that the scope of work that they have is pretty well defined. But construction being what it is, there's always that risk.
Irrigation's probably going to start in March.
Yes, and that's the other thing that we, when we signed that agreement, we allowed them to run the schedule. So we're basically just waiting for them to proceed. So again.
So that is a good contingency fund for that major big project?
All of the other projects as well.
Does that make sense, Mr.
Some of these?
Yeah, in other words, we'll hold off till we actually work on some of these.
Get this stuff wiped out, and if there's anything left over.
I'd rather be here telling you
we
still have some money available instead of coming back and saying we don't have any more money and we have a project halfway done.
This is the thing here. We have indefinitely postponed, and then we have a new project, right? CBAC wants a new project because that's what they want.
Mm-hmm.
But we have indefinitely postponed other projects that are not on this list, which we promised the voters. And my, what I want to make sure is that what we promised, or what we communicated to the voters in regards to the 2011 bond program, we have to address that too as a board. Right?
I can provide the board with a list of all the projects that are, that were never executed. And that list will include also monies that had been spent on projects that were shelved, were never completed. So they were started but not completed. So I have that information as well. I will be able to provide that by next meeting.
Thank you. Or next week's?
Yeah, next week's.
Thank you.
Yes.
Yes, sir. Second, Mr. Rodriguez?
Yes.
So, with all of that said, Dr. Galavis, what would you... Mr. Rodriguez just asked, could we have a list of all the bond projects?
For 2011. You know,
we keep going back because during the old committee, we did that. We went and looked through all the bond projects and we said, hey, we don't need that pavement. And we scratched it off, and we did that with the board, we did that with CBAC, so and we can present it again, but
well,
you keep going back, and what CBAC said, and what we agreed with, the PA system, the baseball, and these are the major ones that were approved by CBAC, and back when the former executive director. So again, I'm just trying to go forward rather than keep going back. And again, to allow this, it just delays it more. Delays the closing from the 2011-2006 bond, because now we're going 2006, it's 10 years. 2011, it's 5 years. And so I just want to caution the board. But again, we can do that. But when you keep going backward and stopping the process to say, this is what was prioritized, let us go and get these bids. What I like to add is the football field, making sure our kids are safe, and the tennis courts. So
that is another good point. The more we delay this, the execution of this project, then this money is going to be burning a hole in our pockets. So we're always going to have needs, and the more needs come up, then more people are going to come in front of you and ask for money, and knowing that there's this money available, then we can't really move forward. As I mentioned to the board before, even though you approved this list of projects because of procedure, I want to come back and say if it's over $10,000 for a single purchase, then I can come back and ask you for your authorization.
So,
if I might, Madam Chair.
Yes, sir.
Just in regards to this, Beth, Dr. Galavis, this is the same thing I asked last month in regards to what are the indefinitely postponed projects that are on here. It's the same sheet that we got. In regards to having people coming back and requesting, that's what happened with the CMS metal canopies. I think maybe other campuses might need that, but that's not under the bond program.
and we should hold off onto that till we see the other list. And I don't have a problem going with the Netches PA system, the AMS exterior lighting, and the CHS baseball thing that we need to do. And I don't know if we're going to hold off on the AMS restroom remodeling or it's just AMS football.
We want to move forward
with that one.
Yeah. So it's just the lighting
for the football.
I don't have a problem holding off on the CMS metal canopies and the AMS football lighting. But last month I requested that we get the full indefinitely postponed projects that were presented, and that's what I don't have.
Okay. I don't recall you asking for the full. I recall
I could prioritize the
priority. You wanted to prioritize this list.
And I wanted to see what the
And we did prioritize the list. Yes. On the December 14th.
I wanted to see what was not included on that, and that's what I'm asking again.
Yes, sir. We can do that. We'll provide you the whole list.
We'll provide the entire list. Whatever.
So, Dr. Gallabies, how do we get moving forward?
Well, I guess do you all want to look at the whole list again, like the pavement and the bay, and again, put them in that box, and then we're going to prioritize again?
I'm thinking we've got it.
If I may offer an option, in order for us to move forward, if I know from the board if there's consensus about which one project we can get started with, we can do
and
that.
And so, Dr. Gallabies, maybe you could come back to us, and we could actually add this on next week's agenda.
17th.
On the 17th. You could come back to us with maybe a reprioritization of this. Indefinitely postponed projects.
Madam Chair, if I might, I don't think we need the list is here. The question is, we had a parent come up to us on the CMS metal canopy and was requesting the $3,200 for CMS. And so we see that there's not a need for the lighting. We could hold off on those projects till we look at the other list. And I don't mind, this is a priority of the district, staff, then we'll go forward with that. But then what we need to do is look at the other list, because if we go out for another bond program in a year or two and they ask us, well, why didn't you do this? Why didn't you do, remember the Sombria, the other things that we went out to, then we'll say, because staff said that this wasn't needed, or at this time we didn't have the money for this project.
This is CBAC. I mean, just for clarification, this is what CBAC, who has been our recommending force behind everything, this is what they wanted, right?
That is correct.
Okay. So between them and what we've done, this is pretty much what we're going to look
record,
for. Do you want to change it up big time, I guess is what I'm
saying. No, I'm saying, I think we're all in agreement. The staff is saying that the lighting is okay to hold off, and I think the board is okay with that, unless the majority of the board feels different. Does the majority of the board feel different? So we're holding off on the lighting, right? Which is the staff's recommendation. Now, the question I have in regards to metal canopies, that was not on the original bond program of 2011 or 2006. And so until I see the rest of the bond program that we promised the voters, we shouldn't put that on that list.
And the football field wasn't on there, I don't believe.
Well,
and the
and
tennis.
Yeah, well, that's not on this list.
It is a safety issue. That's what we just asked now. If he'll reprioritize this.
Well, the question is, do we all want to address the safety issues at the football field?
Absolutely.
Is that okay with
and
the
tennis court?
Then
but
just
also,
put that
I'm
on
sorry,
there.
Madam Chair,
but
yes,
he's adding to that list.
You know what? CMS, they really need it.
not because of my daughter's right over there, but let me tell you, they don't have nothing to cover themselves other than in here. You know, it's raining, it's sunny, it's windy, they don't have where to go. All of them, they have to go to the cafeteria. For me, I'm sorry, but for me, this is a problem.
The question here is, what about AMS? Do they need that? Does other campus need that? And was that on the original bond program?
Again, priorities.
Well, we need to look at the priorities of the bond program.
Miss Annette?
Okay, I'm hearing two different things. I do agree with what Mr. Rodriguez is saying as far as let's take a look at just the prior things and see, especially like if administration said we don't need that anymore, I'm fine, you know, to just say that that's no longer needed, but then we can at least say to the voters, you know, that was, we looked at that and had, because we did this, this, and this, it negated the project, okay? But the other thing is, it shouldn't be coming out of bond, I believe, is like, yes, I think the football bill absolutely needs to be addressed, but it doesn't come out of bond. It should be coming out of whatever. I mean, those are the things that we need to
maintenance and
making sure that Mr. Vasquez has an adequate budget, because it shouldn't be coming out of the bond. Is that what I'm hearing? Because it has to be addressed. In other words, I think we're all in agreement of that. It has to be addressed. But it shouldn't be addressed as far as outstanding. This thing here is talking about fund source, and it says bond. Both of them say bond. So that's my issue is, you know, Ms. Searles, it's just that was my only question is because, yes, we absolutely have to address those things that come up. But it doesn't come out of the bond funds, I don't believe.
Should not.
Oh, okay.
Should not. And we're just saying that the money's there, and it's a safety issue
But then I can understand what Mr. Rodriguez is saying, that we have to look at what was promised.
Understand, and yet you've got a time issue. So let's go back to the time issue. Nobody's playing football right now. We know that football field needs
absolutely
to be fixed.
Absolutely needs to be done.
Yeah,
if right now we just heard a whole discussion on
playing soccer,
we don't want to dip into the fund balance.
I agree.
So where else is the money going to come from? It isn't there. There is no money anywhere budgeted to fix that football field or the tennis courts.
Ms. Earls, and the football field is being used because they're playing soccer and Coach Brooks will start spring ball.
Yeah. But there's going to be a break somewhere. There has to be a break or they couldn't fix it. They got to find a time to get it fixed. And I don't know, maybe it only takes a week.
Well, they probably practice on the other.
Yeah, it may only take a week. I don't think it's like a huge undertaking. But that is something that has come up. That we've just all discussed general fund or the bond. Which is it going to be? And if it's not the general fund and we're going to budget for it, then it isn't happening.
It's not going to happen in time.
It isn't going to happen.
Okay.
Because our budget isn't set until July 1. And so we get the budget set, now we got the money. Oh, well, gosh, the kids already have to start practicing again, and we want them to be number one, and if they're not practicing on their field, that probably ain't going to happen.
So, okay, so
it's
within the purview of the board.
Yes.
To look at the bond issuance and add projects to it?
Yes.
That was my question.
Yes.
That's all I need to know.
And
I just making sure I'm not going to go to...
No, you're totally correct. And it's written in the bond, just like that.
Okay, thank you, ma'am.
And does it show fiscal responsibility as well as safety adherence? And yes, we would be remiss if we didn't take care of our kids. And as soon as possible,
That was my question.
So, Dr. Galavis, for the 17th, would you please reprioritize the indefinitely postponed projects with an explanation of why? And when I say that, I mean what you just told us. Mr. Brooks, our athletic coordinator has discussed with you that there is nothing going on at the football field at AMS. The lighting seems to be whatever, you just, you know, non-essential. Yet the essential part seems to be that that same money could be utilized for the safety of the children on the football field or wherever. That it come with a little explanation why.
And the kind of
well, the
summer is coming.
Okay. Is every and then we're going to see this. Everybody's happy. We'll see at least something about this on the 17th. Yes.
My recommendation yes. is go with the stuff that was on the bond program first, and then we'll decide when we see the other stuff before we look at new projects.
Except the football field.
And the
tennis
court.
Well, the football, I
mean. No, 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 the high school.
No, we're talking about the high school.
Well, that would, that would be part of the next round of projects. And we
no, what
that.
He's saying is we do this. Mm-hmm. We do this top part.
Yeah.
We do this part and the bottom part.
They get rolling on the top part. Mm-hmm. And the bottom part, they reorganize and come back. No?
No, he's saying...
Okay.
You want me to go
Mr. Rodriguez is saying is to look at, to approve, I don't want to say approve, but look at the PA system, the AMS exterior lighting, the CHS baseball, and the AMS restroom. Look at those projects because those are bond projects. To remove the canopies, the football field and the tennis courts would be separate.
That's what well, that would be added to the list of projects that was on the other. So if you want to prioritize that as first comes the CS metal canopy, or first comes the football field, or first comes, I don't know what else it might be. Because this AMS restroom remodeling, it might be $200,000-$300,000. You know, and the same thing goes to the CMS lift station. So what we need to do is go with what we promised the voters.
Yeah, these are paid for. I mean, this is, yeah, Mondo, this stuff is, see this stuff
the
up
top
here?
Is, yeah.
These are paid done. For.
No, I agree. The top is done. Like, he's working on that. The thing is, what if the CMS lift station comes out to $2 million?
You got that 500,000 down at the bottom, and we're only 200 short.
Yeah, and then what does it? We have to take it from that 200.
Well, you don't flush the toilet very often.
What if the IT bond products come out to 300?
I don't know. I so, mean, yeah, I get
so
it.
So I think go with the first part.
But these things are done.
We're already going with them.
This is going. This is rolling.
Yeah, but he's wanting to hold on to that money. So what I'm saying is...
Only the 1.3. That's the only thing that isn't rolling right now. And it isn't going to happen till next November at the earliest.
So what I'm saying is go with the... On the second part, go with the bond projects that were promised first. And then come back to us and say, this project was not needed. This project was over. We couldn't afford it in the bond program. This brought, and then prioritize that.
All of those that we already
no, no, no.
said weren't good?
We could pretty much say all of those are deleted if that's what staff recommendation, but that's what I want staff to do. Because I'll tell you what, if we go in 2 years and we're going to the community and they're saying, well, you promised this, but you built this. Right?
You just blame me.
Well, then you vote on that. Then you vote on that, and I'll make sure it's a.
No, no, I'm teasing.
I mean, I don't mind if.
But I'm trying to grasp what out of this, what do you want to come
so we
next
address,
Tuesday?
What we address
this
next Tuesday
indefinitely
is 2, 3, 4, and 5. Just 2, 3, 4, and 5, and then we'll look at the other stuff, and then if. The canopies are priority one, then once we get that money, and we could even give...
Okay, so you get it? Okay, Dr. Galabies gets it. He'll be... We'll look at it on the 17th. Okay? Okay. You happy, Mr. Rutter? Everything good? Miss Annette down there?
Yeah.
You feel happy? Everybody's? Okay.
Yes, ma'am.
Okay, next agenda item, please.
This time, C, curriculum and instruction, number one, discussion and recommendation regarding the purchase of secondary campus licenses and campus-wide professional development for the facilitation of classroom instruction and student assessment for all four secondary campuses through the vendor ScribeSense. For the term of February the 1st, 2017 through September 30th, 2017, utilizing Region 19 Cooperative Contract RFP number 16-7210, total amount not to exceed $40,000.
Are there any questions?
I have a question.
Yes, ma'am.
Ms. Rocha?
Yes, ma'am.
Is this the same thing? I noticed in the documentation there was quite a few that went to Los Fresnos. Variety, is this the same thing that they went to go see?
No, ma'am. This is actually a teacher resource. And you know how we have the wonderful Eduphoria system? And they create tests, and they're able to grade the tests. But what type of tests are they limited to? Only multiple choice tests. ScribeSense offers the opportunity for teacher-created materials, you know, the old worksheet, right, that might have a short answer, and it would be able for them, students, for teachers to have those graded. But the part where it's connected to Los Fresnos, I just didn't want to tell you it was the same training, is that now we would have the ability for every student to have an electronic written portfolio. So when those student essays are uploaded, they'll be uploaded into a system that the teacher, the student, and the parent would have access to. And they would be able to see teacher comments directly on those essays. So instead of the teacher, we used to call it, you know, a teacher taking their backpack home for a ride, you put your papers in the back seat, go home with the idea that you were going to grade them, and then, of course, didn't happen, and the next morning you would just be taking your work for a ride. All a teacher would have to do is to scan them, and they could put their comments anywhere. They would just open their laptop at any place, and they would have that written assessment. So we could then track students' progress year to year to see their writing growth from fourth grade to fifth grade, sixth grade, all the way up. We're piloting this only in the secondary schools. Yes, ma'am.
Okay, the other thing I have a question on, it's from February, it's only for half a year.
Yes, ma'am. So we have our rollover of Title II monies. So we're going to pay for the license until September 30th. The second portion we received for to continue in till June of 2018 for the bargain price of $390 for the next part of it.
Yeah,
no. So we will have the program then for.
You answered my question.
Yes, ma'am.
Anyways, thank you, Ms. Searles.
And a place to do all the scanning.
Yes, ma'am. And we talked to our secondary principals. This, you can use the you know, the copy machines that are in our front offices at campuses, yes, that have the ability to scan.
Right, they have the ability.
They would just do that.
Okay. Thank you.
Everybody good with that going to the consent agenda? Okay.
So, discussion and recommendation regarding preliminary enrollment and revenue projections for fiscal year 2018. Spokarski and Dr. Beatty.
Are there any questions while they're getting ready to come up that the board has specifically on this?
Are we talking about item number two?
Yes, ma'am.
C2, preliminary enrollment and revenue.
Oh, I'm sorry. Okay, so as far as this information just came straight from PEAMS, right?
Yes.
Oh, okay.
Well, there were two numbers. There were two numbers that were, one came from the FSP that...
Okay, the Foundational School.
Yes, that TEA puts in that chart, and the other came from the refined ADA for PEAMS for this year. So that's why there's two different numbers.
And so what we're estimating are the preliminary projections that TEA has sorted through our previous PEAM submissions, and that's what their number is.
It's always backwards.
Correct.
I mean, we're always.
Yes, a year in arrear, yes.
Hold on, I'm sorry, Ms. Sills, go ahead.
No, go ahead.
And then, because it looked like that, but not all funding sources are here. Yeah. That's just for the FSP, because it's only the FSP and it's only enrollment?
Refined ADA.
Okay, refined ADA, yes.
Basically, Dr. Hill gave me the two numbers, or the number from the FSP, and I had finance put it into the calculation worksheet. And so the only revenues that we're looking at here are the taxes and the FSP. There is no interest income, there's no
Okay, so this is just like a shorthand, right?
This is the very basic.
Yes.
Okay, now are you going to be using, Ms. Pekoski, will you be using those figures to set your budget up?
I didn't like these numbers. So, but this was our first look at the, just from the different calculations to see where we're at. The 5,661 is where we are like a month ago, a month and a half, when we started working on this. So it's more accurate. I looked also at TASBO. They have a enrollment projection worksheet and or attendance worksheet, and they had us at 5,800 and something, which I think is too high. So I think we're going to look at something somewhere in between. We're going to negotiate and see where we can get to, and then try to spread this among the campuses as well.
We're also going to listen very carefully to what happens at this next legislative session to see if there's any changes. That's obviously this going to be a hot topic, and finances are so. You know, it's a little early. It's like
that's
having a crystal ball.
I thought it was early, but that was my concern is that it's so early.
It is early, but I really appreciate you coming to us with this so that we begin the process and we're right there all along.
Yes.
And that we don't in June go, what do you mean? What's
thank
that
you.
About?
Thank
and
you.
We do have a budget calendar, and this is in keeping with it, and I thank you for bringing it to us. And yet, we're all understanding these are really conservative numbers.
Very conservative, yes.
Okay.
This is the bottom of the bucket, right? This is just the pan scrapings. This is not the dew. Right? Okay. Yeah?
Yes.
Okay. We're going to go duke it out after this.
Thank you. Thank you, sir.
Sure. Any other questions? Okay. Next agenda item, please.
D2, discussion and recommendation regarding BJCF global policy.
Are there any questions?
I just have one question.
Yes, sir.
Are we doing this to, we did put this in a policy for every employee?
No.
No, sir, we did not. It's just on this policy. This policy is from update 105. We did the second reading on this policy on October 25th, and that is when the board requested additional verbiage. So the policy, as you see it, still has all the changes that TASB recommended, plus number 26, I believe, was the new verbiage. I consulted with Steve Blanco, and that is the verbiage that he provided.
Well, what I would like to recommend is that also be included for employees.
So to
26 clarify, should be put in that other policy that we talked about as well.
With the general, with all employees? So do you mean to say then that, I guess the way it's written, when we talk about any subordinate employee, are we just talking about, or do you want anybody that is supervised, or do you want just subordinate employee?
Can people do D?
Yeah.
I'm just telling
you. I would say, what is the recommendation from staff? Subordinate?
My recommendation is, as the Salina School Board trustees came and they did nothing. So this was the odds. That's my recommendation. But again, you're the board, and that was a request from the board to put this in under the superintendent's contract. So and that was the verbiage given by our attorney.
Well, this is a problem I have. Okay, so let's say federal leads, we get a young superintendent that isn't married and...
Well, he can't date.
Well...
No. Yeah. You can't talk like married. That.
No, well, no, even if consensual, so...
No,
then that should go to all employees, too.
No.
He is an employee of the district, and it should go through all employees. Right?
But I agree, it should be subordinated, because we have maybe teachers that teach that.
That are married.
Yeah, or married, or they date each other.
Yeah, we have been, and I know Mr. Pasco and I have faced this issue.
If you want to put that, then the supervisory.
As long as that person is not a subordinate. As long as the principal's not dating one of the teachers, or his secretary, or...
Then it should be provided in the other policy.
Okay. I will go ahead and I would like to get this policy approved. If you want me to remove the language or to include it, I would like to have it sent to the board for approval so I can get it up to TASB. I can go ahead and bring the general policy that's applicable to all employees in February, and we can run through the first and second reading on that policy.
Well, and that's up to the board. Does the board want to include? I mean, I think we should treat every employee fair, so either we include this to everybody else or we delete it.
Well, I think what Martha's saying is let's get this done, and well, she's coming back in February with the rest of the people.
It could coincide, no? We just approved it. Last month, all we need to do is bring it with the same language. So, is the sentiment of the board
one? A different policy.
Yes, but we approved it last month.
No, sir. This one was pulled from the update one.
Yes, but it was. In other words, we approved the other one, but we didn't approve
this one.
Well,
if you want to do them both, we're coming back on the 17th. They can give us a draft on the 17th for the rest of the people. Do you understand that this one's just going to be applicable to him? Is that good with everyone?
Well, can I?
Yes, ma'am.
Okay. It's applicable to the superintendent. It's not applicable to necessarily if we were throwing stones. It would be in a contract, and it's not in the contract. It's in a policy. Do you know what I'm saying?
Mm-hmm.
So it's not against individual Dr. Albies.
No, thank you for pointing that
out. No, this is what I'm trying to say. Because if it was that, we would have put it in the contract. Do you see what I'm saying?
It's the position, not the person.
Exactly. That woman's been tutoring me for 15 years that you have to talk about the position and not the person. That's what I'm trying to say. It's not... And I do know that this district has honored this. We have moved people continually throughout my tenure because of this happening. Because we have to do, under, Ms. Carrasco can tell you, but we have to do, it's mandatory training from the state on, you know, hostile work environment, sexual harassment. We have to go through all that every year, every principal. I could do it probably still. Somebody said, stop. I could probably go right through those slides. So we have that. So I'm not sure that we need a different policy. I mean, I would acquiesce.
So is what I'm hearing from you is it's in regulation?
It's not in regulation. It's mandated.
It's mandated
by the state that we have to do these.
Okay.
What we approved under the update was something similar, but we separated the superintendent from the other because. So my thinking is we should, if we're going to treat one employee, we should treat all employees the same.
But the superintendent doesn't have to sit through. The position of superintendent does not have to sit through all of that. That everyone else, I'm telling you, every employee could probably regurgitate And I'm telling you, every time it comes up to the administration on a conflict, in other words, we might have somebody dating somebody from transportation that could be dating somebody from food service. That's okay, because they're not in a direct line of supervision, okay? And when the administration knows, and we've had to do it on many, many occasions, when a person in a supervisory capacity ends up dating someone within their organization, and that they sign off, they might not do the, you know, evaluation, but they sign off on the evaluation, that goes to, it could end up with a hostile work environment or things like that. Well, this, so we're covered by that.
Your same theory is the same as us board members evaluating the superintendent and making sure.
Well, I'm not going to take that to help you.
Huh?
I'm not going to date the superintendent either. So, I mean, you know, I mean, you know. I mean, you know. I think
you always come up with
it.
I'll
take it. But
what I'm saying is,
I think it's an expectation. I think it's an expectation.
Yeah, it's an expectation, and it's also an expectation for the superintendent. So if we're going to put it in policy.
The only thing that's really on here right now that we're going to decide on is this policy. Yeah.
Okay.
So let's decide, is this going to the consent agenda?
If you're going to...
No, it's not about him. It isn't, and Annette, that was really well done.
You also said we could include the other one. Because it's just language, so just include board policies on the consent agenda.
But we haven't seen, we haven't seen another one.
We got to see another one before we can include it.
Yeah.
So like all we're asking right now is this, because
one.
This is the only one.
So this one, I say this should be okay, and then under
yes, and on February. Next.
If they want to pull it, they can pull it.
Yes.
That's okay. That's
regular board meeting on the 24th.
Yes, ma'am. And Ms. Carrasco. And help me, Armando. I'm here. When do you want it? 17th or February? It's not like everybody's dating, I don't think. February, okay.
Well, February is Valentine's Day.
You're good. Oh, it is Valentine's Day. No kissing contest. Okay, so Ms. Carrasco, can you come back for the February agenda review committee with language for everybody else? Okay, that makes sense?
Yes.
Okay.
Because another option that we have is that we can remove it from this and put it in just the regular.
Just don't muddy the water right now. We'll keep rolling. No. Yeah, okay.
So for the record, Ms. Brigham, you and I will not be dating.
Yes.
To be clear.
Did she say yes?
Yeah.
Yes, to be clear. Yes. 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 Will not.
Give me an Irish eye. Give me an Irish eye.
Even if she makes it that Irish sweet rip. Okay, so I believe that brings us to the end of the agenda, except for Mr. Rodriguez. Last one.
The internal audit discussion recommendation regarding the internal audit organization independence confirmation.
Are there any questions? This is essentially maintenance and housekeeping on this. Everybody okay?
I have a question.
For real? No? Okay.
Consent
agenda. Thank you.
Item number 3, community input.
Tony Flores just left.
Number 4, adjournment.
Meeting adjourned. Thank you, board.
Oh, that's yours right
there. Thank you. Yeah.
And you all took it out of context.
5:30. And I'll send it out. Okay, got it. Bye.
You said House.
Yes, that's good. Sonia.
Sure. Okay.
Yeah. The legislative agenda is on there too.
Legislative agenda only. Well. It's short. Would it take 30 more an hour? 5 o'clock?
No. Okay. Shut up.
Oh, thank you.
Oh my God.
Thank you, Lori.
That's that.
Okay. So.
That's the person who exactly.
Am I right?
It's very pretty.
Yeah.
You know what? I like it. I like it. Yeah.